This week's episode brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace, the fucking advertiser who's figured out that the genius of advertising exclusively on podcasts is that you don't have to pay them shit because they don't care. And that also your ad's going to be attached to the same episode in perpetuity. So basically, when people go through the back catalog of a podcast, which I think most people do, they're going to hear your ads for, you know, fucking 20 years or whatever. Not like a rerun of a show where every time you got to buy a new ad slot. Squarespace, they figured something out that lots of people are too dumb for. Congratulations to you guys, I guess. Welcome. I'm back from a vacation. I took a baycation. That's where you go on vacation with your bae. And bae is short for baby. Bebe's Kids. I took my copy of Bebe's Kids on DVD on vacation. Well, I went to Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon. So, it was great. But, I don't want to just sit here and talk to you about the great stuff, because that's boring, right? Why can't we be more positive? Well, because that's, you know, what am I going to say? It was delightful. The leaves were beautiful. No shit. The leaves were very pretty in November in Portland, Oregon. Is that something you didn't know before? Is that something you need me to tell you? I think there's plenty of things that can tell you. Primarily amongst which is Instagram. Okay? Just look at leaves. Just put in leaves and then hashtag fall. Am I right? Or something like... I don't know. I'm not good at hashtags. I gotta tell you. I look at the trending hashtags, and then I have to look up what that means every time. We had some weird run-ins as far as it seemed like every time we got on public transportation or a plane or a bus, which we did often, there was some kind of an incident on every single, at every turn, there was an incident that was sort of unexpected. We got on the airplane, and this is new. I've never had this before. You expect like a crying baby, or an annoying toddler, or a big fat guy. What we had, two or three rows back, was an annoying guy from the UK talking loud as fuck, who sounded like a real asshole. Because all he was just talking about, I don't understand. I don't understand what was going on. I have my suspicion, which is that he was talking to these two girls who you could kind of hear, and this guy you could hear every word he said, loud and clear. And I think they were just talking to him because he had an accent. Because the things that were coming out of his mouth, stripped of the accent, were not good or smart or fun. He talked about, he was talking a lot about the United States. He was talking about how people in Minnesota are, friendly once you're in with them. But, when you're not, they're not super friendly. What an insight! What a fucking, oh my God. Unlike the other places where they're super nice to you right away, but once you get to know them, then they're like, oh, go fuck yourself. Or he was saying something about how New Orleans was really important because he said that was the birthplace of jazz, which prompted me to think, what is the actual birthplace of jazz? Because I think there's about 20 places that have claimed it. And I think the birthplace of jazz is wherever claims it's the birthplace of jazz that's the nearest. Because fucking everywhere is the birthplace of jazz. Is there one place that's like, okay, this is where... It's not like these things start and then that's the thing. It's not like, oh, what's the birthplace of Twitter? Well, we could figure that out because that's a one thing. It's like, what's the birthplace of art? Who fucking knows? What's the birthplace of jazz? Who knows? What's the birthplace of wiping your ass? No one knows. That doesn't exist. Okay? I'm sure many different cultures and peoples discovered that independently of each other at about the same time. God damn. Anyway, he was talking about how New Orleans is important because it's, the birthplace of jazz, which I was just like, oh my God. What the fuck? And how he said, if aliens came down... And this is a great argument that people make that fucking kills me every time. If aliens came down from fucking wherever they're coming down from. And they, you know, came to Earth. This X is what they would want to know, or X is what we should fucking tell them about. You know, if aliens came here and they wanted to learn about our civilization, oh my God, jazz is the way to... Fuck you. Are you fucking kidding me? Jazz. Jazz music is what alien... Of all the music, what do we want them to listen to? I'll tell you what, I mean, he does make a point in that Star Wars bar. That was a pretty jazzy little number they played. In that it, you know, was kind of a little piercing and shrill and annoying. And seemed to have some element of improvisation in it, perhaps. So I'll give him that. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's a fucking music expert. But I don't think so. I don't know. He was awful. And he was so fucking loud. Oh, my God. But he's not the loudest person that we encountered. So then there was a brief encounter on... I got on two different buses. You know, I got on one bus where... So... I was taking a bus, and Poon Master Flex was with me, and she was not getting on the bus. She was going somewhere else. So she was, like, walking the bus the same direction the bus was headed. You know, she was going to walk, like, two blocks and turn around. So the bus goes, like, one block and then picks someone up, which, by the way, big flaw of the bus, okay? The bus does not need to stop every block. There should not be the option to, you know, it's like, pull chain to stop. That shouldn't be at every block. Because then motherfuckers get on the bus and it's like, do you want to get off here? And they don't pull it. They're like, you know what? I'll get off at the next one. And you're like, dude, we stopped at the last one. We waited for the wheelchair ramp to deploy and you couldn't have got off there. Couldn't have done it. Couldn't have just got off at the front or the back or whichever one was not the wheelchair zone and got off the fucking bus. Instead we stop again. You know, you ride the bus 20, there's 20 stops. It says on Google Maps, it'll be like, you have to go 20 stops. That could take 1 minute or it could take fucking 40 minutes. So I get on the bus and Flex is walking the same direction. So we drive one block to the next stop, you know, so they picked me up and then drove another, some assholes getting off the next street. And so she catches up with the bus and she's walking by. This guy gets on the bus and it's taking him forever to count out his cash, you know what I mean? Like, forever. He's like getting in his wallet, and then he's like, he's holding a drink, and then he's like transferring it back. Oh my God. And it's taking forever. And then here's what's really funny, because this happened another time too, is like the time that it took for the other passengers on the bus to turn on the bus driver was like nothing. You know what I mean? Instantly, there's this lady sitting up front who kind of declared herself in charge of the bus, and she was like, bus driver, I got somewhere to be. And he was like, well, I can't go anywhere until I, you know, get the money. Like, this is just what happens. So then this same lady who's in charge of the bus, you know, we go a few more stops, and so this whole time too we're waiting, I'm watching Flex walking down the street at a, you know, leisurely pace, far outpacing the bus. Because we're just sitting there. So we get a few more stops and the bus starts getting pretty full. And this lady who's in charge of the bus has one of those old lady carts, which is like a grocery cart, but it's just straight up and down. You know what I'm talking about? And so she's got one of those and she's sitting nearish the front, but people are standing in the aisle all up and down the bus. And so some people get on and they're kind of standing in front of her. And so she's telling them, like, okay, when we get a few stops, I'm getting off in two stops. So when we get there, you guys are going to have to make room so I can get off with my cart. And there's this guy, and, you know, he kind of nods. And there's this girl who just, she's just looking forward. Because you're, like, smashed on the bus. There's nothing you can do. But this lady was loud and whatever. So then we get one stop away. And then she's like, you all are going to have to get off the bus and make room so I can get out and then get back on the bus. And then, you know, okay. So they're like standing there because the bus is going. And then we get to a stoplight. Not the bus stop, but the stoplight. And the lady's like, when we get there, again, she says, when we get there, you're going to have to get off and get back on so I can get out with my cart. And this guy halfway flips off. He's just kind of like, yeah, we'll get off when we get to the stop. We can't get off right now. We're not at the bus stop yet. And so then, you know, they get to the thing and they get off and get back on. The next run-in was in Seattle, where this is a crazy thing that Seattle has done that's not... I mean, it's kind of crazy. Here's what's weird. We get off, we rode a bus all the way to Seattle, which was fine. And then you go to take their public transpo. We get on the train, and we take the train downtown and look around. And then we're going to get on a bus to go somewhere else. So we're looking around, and it's like, where the fuck is this bus? I don't understand. We're exactly where Google Maps is like, go here and catch the bus. And so then we can't figure it out. And in addition, they have the most confusing fucking system of different tickets at this city. It's like, okay, this is your train ticket. This is an Orca pass. This Orca pass lets you do everything. This train ticket only works within this designated zone and only on the trains. And so we couldn't find the bus, and Flex was like, well, let's go. There's like a train station. Maybe we can at least get the bus pass there so we're not just like throwing cash in the bus. So we go in there and realize the buses are running underground. So here's how it works in Seattle. They have these train tunnels that go underground like a subway, and the trains go along those. And also the buses just drive along the same routes, and the buses drive through the train tunnels. Now, I don't know if this was always the plan or if this was like a crazed idea that somebody came up with, but basically the buses just go underneath the city along where the trains go and then, you know, branch out to other spots. Which, like, in some ways I get it. Like, I get the bus. I get what's good about the bus. And what's good about the bus is it can go everywhere that cars can go, because basically every city is set up to be car friendly, and not, we don't, who gives a shit about the trains, right? And also, you can institute a bus system without creating a whole train track. Once you've created the train track, am I the only one who thinks it's crazy that a bus is like driving over the train track? Also, how shitty, like, to get the bus driving job and then, you know, you're like driving behind a train and you're like, man, all that guy has to do is like faster or slower. He doesn't even have to steer shit. That's got to be badass. I wonder what the train car, like, faster and slower, if it's like gas and brakes, or if you have like a paddle, or a you know, like a Frankenstein come to life switch thing, or what? I want to know. Pete wants answers. So we finally get on our fucking bus, and we're driving around underground in tunnels in the bus, because that's the thing. So we went to the train station. The bus we wanted to catch is an underground bus. So we were in the exact right spot, but Google Maps doesn't tell you, like, hey, I know this sounds crazy. There's a bus running under the street right now, and that's where you need to go. It's like, really? Really? Because there was a huge bus stop right where we were, but none of the buses we were waiting for were coming. It's because they were underground. We should have known. Just like most cities where the bus is goddamn underground. It's like, I just wish, you know, that there was some way to know that. You know, like, if Seattle, instead of being the Windy City and the Big Apple and whatever, Seattle's like, Seattle, the underground bus city, because what the hell, why not? So we get on the bus, and then we get to a stop, and there's this whole soccer team that gets on, and none of them speak English. I don't know where they were from. And it was weird because they were wearing like Seattle soccer tournament uniforms. So I couldn't tell. I was like, do these people live here, or are they like in town for a tournament where they're like, everyone gets a windbreaker and then these guys are wearing the windbreaker? And then it was like, is that kind of like wearing the concert t-shirt to the concert, or is that different? I don't know. You know, that's like the Olympics. If you are against concert goers wearing the band shirt of the band they're seeing, well, you would hate the Olympics, because they're all wearing their fucking Olympics shit the whole time. So we get there. I like to, by the way, like, we talk about like wearing a Lucero shirt to a Lucero show would be real douchey. But you know what's cool is wearing a Broncos jersey to a Broncos game. That's cool. That's fun. That's being part of the team. Wearing a concert shirt to a concert is fucking crazy. Like, oh my god, what an idiot. Don't be that guy. And it's like, well, what's the fucking difference? Also, what am I doing? I'm too cool to be seeing the band that I'm seeing? Are you crazy? I don't know. Maybe what I'm supposed to do, this is what I don't like, but I think what people do, is dressing like they're in the band that they're there to see. Isn't it interesting how, like, the way that people dress so often seems to be informed by the bands they listen to? That's such a weird thing. I am personally wearing khaki pants at the moment, because all my jeans are dirty, because I was on vacation. It probably is totally not noticeable to others, and to me, I feel like a fraud. You know, I'm like, God, in my fucking khaki pants. Here we go. So we're on this bus, and this whole soccer team starts piling in the bus. Now, they have the wrong pass, because they have the train pass, much like we had, and what they need is the Orca. So they're getting on, and the bus driver is just like, no, 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 you guys need Orca, not this. And they're like looking at him like, what the fuck? Because, and I can't say as I blame them, because it's not like Orca. I don't know if Orca is the same word in another language or not, but why you would assume that that was the word, you know, oh yeah, they named their thing after a killer whale. Okay, sure. This is my Free Willy card. That's what you need. Like, that doesn't make sense. So he's like, no, 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 you need this other pass. And they're kind of looking at each other like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? And they just kind of keep piling on. He's like, no, 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 you have to get this. You cannot pay with this. This doesn't do anything. And so they all get off the bus except their coach. And their coach is like talking to the bus driver. And the bus driver keeps saying the same thing. This is transit. You need Orca or whatever. You know, over and over and over, he's saying the same thing. And this, like, so then, again, the other passengers on the bus, like, immediately turn on the bus driver. You know, they're like, this dude is like, I got somewhere to be. That's like the, that is the standard line of, like, bus driver, quit fucking around. You're fucking me here. Here's what I think is funny is that, like, I saw this happen twice. Nobody turned on the people who are trying to get on the bus. You know, even though it's like, the first is like this guy, and you're like, hey man, you could have your money a little more ready. I'm sure this happens to everybody, but come on. Like, you're just gonna run on the bus and you don't even think about, oh yeah, I gotta pay for this shit. And then the other one is like, okay, it's confusing, I'll give you that. But when the bus driver is like, no, you can't get on the bus, but this coach was like, not gonna let it go. He was just like, he was standing at the front, leaning on it, and leaning on the back wall, you know, the wall that's at the bus driver's back, behind his chair, and just, like, talking to him, I guess. But, you know, he was not speaking English. The bus driver was speaking English, and they just both were talking louder and louder, and it was great. It was really a good, they really worked a lot out, so that's the plus. That's the good side of it. And, you know, the bus driver the whole time is just like, no, 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 no. And then, finally, like, a transit cop comes, because there are fucking so many transit cops, although they're all down in the tunnel, I guess because it was raining, so they're like, oh, fuck this. I guess if you're, you know, it's Thunderdome out there, but we'll just make sure no one's graffitiing down here at 2 p.m, I guess. And, you know, the transit cop comes over and just is basically like, fuck it, just go. You're holding up the whole thing, just go. And, you know, again, the transit cop was the one who's like, you're holding up the whole thing. Not like, hey, people who are trying to get on the bus, who have it paid for the bus, you're holding up this whole bus. So anyway, they all pile on. And as they're getting on to, the best part is the bus driver is like, well, you know, thanks for just taking the bus for free. And he's like, you guys should thank everyone who's on this bus who paid, because you're stealing the bus, you know, you're stealing the bus ride. And one of the guys getting on is like, stealing, you know, or something to his friend. And his friend is like, oh, who fucking cares? And then we had another like salty bus driver, because we're in Seattle, we're on the bus going around somewhere. And, you know, so you've got the little thing you pull to get to your bus stop, which is kind of a terrible system. Because I'm like, sometimes, you know, if you don't know your stop. So, works totally fine if you're from the place where you are. If you are not from there, it's hard to know when your bus stop is coming up. But hey, good news, fuck it. Even if you miss your bus stop, you can just pull it, you know, and go another 10 feet and then get off the bus. So somebody pulled it when we're in Seattle, and we get to the stop, and the bus driver pulls over and opens the door, and the lights come on, and no one gets off. And he's like, no one's getting off, this is a stop. And he says, like, the streets, you know, he's like, turn in Broadway or whatever, and no one gets up. And he's like, somebody pulled the thing. And everyone's just sitting there like, I don't know. And then he's like, all right, must have been a ghost. And then he just like he's chiding us like he's our dad, you know? Well, I guess a fucking must have been not me from Family Circus who pulled the bus thing. It's just so weird. I don't understand. Like, why do you got to get that little thing in there? That little like, hey, thanks a shitload for pulling the thing when you didn't even need to get off the bus. It's like, look, somebody pulled it. They're not getting off. Fuck it. Your obligation ends. What do you care? You're just like, you become melded, whichever, with the bus, right? During the bus drive time, don't you just like sit there and just sort of become one with the bus? What difference does it make to you? It makes a difference to me, because I don't like stopping at every stop, but you're stopping at every stop, or if you are a bus driver and you stop at every stop, or you stop at none stops, what's the difference? Like, isn't it the same? You would just drive more and stop less, or stop and then go, but who cares? It's not like you own the bus and you're like, well, if we could do less stop and go, that's less wear and tear on the brakes. Like, who cares? Nobody cares. And then finally, no, wait, there's two more. This is like 5 days of riding a pretty good amount of public transpo, and like every day there's like two things. So the bus ride back, we're getting on this bus, the Bolt bus, to go from Seattle back to Portland. And this guy, you know, kind of a sketch weirdo, walks up to the bus driver. And so the bus driver takes everyone's tickets and he lets you on. And, you know, it's like they do like a Southwest thing, which is like boarding group A, B, and C, which I don't really understand, because it's like, what are you going to do? Outsell the bus? You're just going to fucking, I don't know. So we're waiting, we're group C, and A and B is on there. This guy walks up to the front of the line. He's not getting on the bus, but he's like, I don't know, I'm thinking about taking a bus to Portland maybe in the next few days or next week. And he's like, how do I get tickets? And the guy's like, online. And he's like, isn't there an office around here? And he's like, well, there's an office. And he's like, where is the Bolt bus office? And this guy's getting like a little aggressive. And the driver's like, well, it's in Seattle. And the guy said, is it far? And the bus driver said, yeah, it's far from here. And the guy's like, well, how can it be far from here? You just said it was in Seattle. Which I was like, you're the one who asked if it was far or not. That to me suggests that a possible answer of that is yes. If there's no place that's far from here, then no. It couldn't be far. I feel like if the bus driver had said, it's in Seattle, how far could it be? The guy would have been like, fuck you. Yes, it can. But since the bus driver was like, no, the guy was like, how can that be? That sounds factually impossible. So there you go. And then the whole time, and they're like arguing about it the whole time. The guy is not trying to get on this bus. He's like, I'm going to go in the next week or something or whatever. And then just harassing this bus driver about, like, where's the office for this? And, like, you can't buy tickets there. This is the other thing, is, like, the bus driver definitely... Oh, God. It's a bunch of people standing out in, a field taking one of those family photos. I never want to do that in my life. This is a thing I never want to do. Never want to hire some photographer to fucking go out, and then I'm standing around in my outfit, which is like, oh, this is a polo shirt that I bought and brand new jeans that I've never worn before that I got to do this, to stand around by an old fucking train track and take a picture. Oh my God. This to me is like the sickest, grossest thing that I blame my generation. I gotta be honest. When it's like, we gotta take photos for our wedding or for our baby or just, you know, I feel like there's people who just do this every 2 or 3 years. They're like, it's time for us to do this again. This thing where we go out and find an old hayloft and get up there and take some fucking pictures for, I don't know what they're for. Facebook? Oh, and by the way, I'm totally cool with paying someone money to do this and then they watermark them with their business name. You know, Jay and Blowjob Photography. I'm fine with that. Even though I paid for this to happen. Even though I think you should own the photos of you that you paid for, right? I hate that. That makes me fucking crazy. If I ever did that and they put the watermark, I would be so mad. So furious. You know? I hate that shit. Also, it's like, I know, okay, so they would do that, like you take your senior pictures and they don't want you to copy them, or you take pictures and it's like, well, this way, like, in 2015, the era of digital photography, if you're paying a wedding photographer, like, for the prints, that's insane. You gotta negotiate that up top and just be like, no, I'm not paying you for prints. Thank you very much. I will pay you for the digital files, just like every other picture, so that I can store them on my computer and never look at them again. I have so many pictures on my computer right now that I've never seen, ever. Ever. Anyway, they were doing that. Okay, so last run in. So we get on this bus back to Portland. This is like a 3 hour bus ride. Maybe 3 and change. And behind us is a real douchey guy who's talking about spirituality. The best part was he said out loud to whoever he was talking to, he's like, well, whenever we get off the phone, which won't be for quite a while, da-da-da-da, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And it was like, oh, why did he have to confirm that? But actually, he wasn't nearly the worst. In front of us was like the loudest lady of all time and was talking about the weirdest shit. I don't know who she was talking to, you know, but she was just like, yeah, so I came up to Seattle for the weekend and I got so fucked up every day. I'm still pretty hungover. I'm actually drunk. I'm not drunk enough for this bus ride though. And like, she's like, oh yeah, I've been so stressed out lately. And this is, by the way, this is not my impression of general woman. This is this lady. This is why this was so annoying, because I was like, did you have no parents, but you were raised in a room where your speech patterns were made by listening to stand-up comedians from the 90s doing an impression of a woman? Because that is what your voice sounds like to me. Like, it's so grating and horrible, and it just sounds so bad. Like, it sounds so, oh God. So, and it's seriously what she was doing. Like, and this is not an impression to just be like, oh yeah, women be all like, bleh. It's like, this is what this lady was talking like. It was, I thought at one point, cause this lady, and she, you know, she's sitting next to a stranger. This guy is sitting up in front of us and his wife or his partner, whoever she is in the seat behind us. So there's like me and Flex are in a chair, this annoying lady in front of us next to a guy stranger, and then his person he's with is behind us. Because the seats were like full, so you had to go, you know, double up everywhere. So she's like sitting up there going like, I've just been so stressed out. Like I couldn't even rub one out and feel better. You know what I mean? And she is saying this so loud. so fucking, like, the bus is running. It's loud as shit on the bus. And then she's in front of us, so it's not like she's right. You know when someone's right behind you, their face, their mouth, their words is like 8 inches from your head. So you're like, yeah, they're going to be fucking loud as shit. She was in front of us. And I thought, like, it was so obnoxious the way she was talking and what she was talking about. You know, at one point, so the guy next to her, probably an hour into the drive, got up and, like, went to the bathroom. And it took a while. There's a bathroom at the back of the bus. I thought he wasn't coming back. Like, I thought he's had enough and he's just going to go. I was thinking if I was this guy, I would fucking get up to, and then I would just go look and be like, is there anyone else who's sitting alone on this bus right now? Because I am fucking moving. I don't give a fuck. I'll pay someone $20 to sit next to them. But he came back. But I thought it was just a ploy to get him to, you know, I was like, maybe this lady's a genius. And what she's doing is she's discovered that, like, all right, I commute on this bus. Maybe she's like a fucking stockbroker or some shit. She's like, I commute on this bus every day and it's kind of a pain, but I figured out the fastest way to convince people to not sit next to you is to talk in this horrible way about horrible shit and just to be the person on the bus that everyone else is like, my God, do I not want to sit next to this person? Holy Christ. So, yeah, but nope, he came back and sat next to her. So whether or not that means the entire bus was full or whatever, I do not know. I don't know. I don't know if his fate was sealed or what. But that was, there's our public transportation adventures. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was great. It's great to leave the house and have this kind of adventures. We did visit. So Seattle has a new interesting thing. Like, it's only 2 weeks old or something at this point, which is Amazon.com has built their first physical bookstore. So, you know, of course, the irony is clear of like, oh, that's funny. You guys spent fucking the last 20 years or whatever putting every physical bookstore out of business, and now you're like coming back to show everybody what's what. Well, I should say first. So first we went to Powell's in Portland, Oregon. This is the best bookstore. I kid you not. Like, there are others that people talk about that are pretty good, you know? And there are lots of good bookstores out there, but this is the shit. This is the one, this is the bookstore that, this is by far the king of bookstores. I mean, it's the best. There's nothing even close anywhere else that I've ever, you know, I've been to like Book People in Austin and Tattered Cover and some fucking famous bookstore in Boston and City Lights and all these places, and they're very nice and they have good stuff. But this is the best one. I'm telling you right now. What's so great about it is, number one, they have fucking everything. Like, they have everything. But also, they have so much stuff that you didn't really know you wanted. And by that, I don't mean it's like crap at the grocery store that's in the aisle where you're like, I didn't know that I wanted to learn about the Kardashians, but now that it's right in front of me, I'm all of a sudden interested. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they have, like, great books, and they're front-facing on display, or they're next to other great books, and they are actually great books that you haven't heard of or that you don't know much about or that kind of thing. They also have my favorite section of all bookstores, which is the small indie press section, which I just think is awesome and great. And it's smaller than it used to be, which is kind of a bummer. And it seems a little more selective than it used to be, which is, I understand why, but part of its charm has faded a little for me, but it's still pretty great. Like, you're still gonna see weird shit there that you don't, you know, that's where I used to get all my Bizarro books and all that stuff. But lots of other good stuff there. It's just a good place to be, man. And part of the store's charm is definitely, like, there's a big coffee shop in there with big long tables where people are just sitting next to each other. And, you know, in some cases, a guy is horribly trying to pick up a woman. My God, was that what was happening when we were there? And we just moved to another table. And it's like the store is very windy, you know. It's not a big box that's just sitting there. A big box store. It's not that I'm against that, but what I'm saying is, like, that store is definitely, if you miss browsing around a Blockbuster to find a movie, like, that to me was so much more engaging and interesting than flipping through the Netflix queue. I could flip through the Netflix queue all fucking day. And that's, you know what my favorite thing to watch on Netflix is? Me getting frustrated flipping through the options. That's all I do. I just wish that it would automatically scroll through all the movies on Netflix, because that would save me time and effort. That would save me a lot of button presses if it just had a setting where it's like, do you just want to start with a movie and it just shuffles through and you just see the covers and, you know, you can stop for a description if you want, but you probably don't even care. I'd be like, that sounds great. Let's do it. I'll just eat. I can't tell you how many slices of pizza have gone cold on a plate in my lap while I'm scrolling through Netflix looking for stuff to do. If we get pizza, we're like, let's get pizza and watch a Netflix, and it's up to me to decide. Flex will be done eating, and I'm still sitting there. I haven't even started because I'm like, I don't know what to do. I cannot pick. There's too many choices, and I can't. They all seem the same to me. The rating is the least helpful thing in the world, because everything is either like a 5-star or a 2-star. I don't understand how that works. Anyway, so if you, like, miss that shit, though, like walking around the video store, or, like, just browsing around a place, that, like, an actual physical place, this is the bookstore, man. This is where you want to go. Big time, for sure. So we were 80 pals, and then we went to the Amazon store. And the Amazon store, so we got there, and they were, like, doing, like, a club, one in, one out. Although, I don't know if it was necessary, because, like, when we got in, it was not crowded in there. So I don't know if they just want to maintain a certain level of not crowd, or maybe they were expecting a huge crowd, or maybe part of it is, like, look at this fucking line of people waiting to get into this Amazon store. We go in, and so, you know, it looks pretty standard. It's like a nicer looking bookstore. I mean, they have the wooden shelves and stuff. And all the books are front facing. So you see the covers, right, when you're looking at the shelves. There are no books that you see the spine, all front facing. So they'll have 5 copies of something all facing forward. And then each book below it has a little tag that has, you know, the Amazon star rating. And then it'll have, you know, sometimes it has something like the Goodreads rating, or it'll have, a lot of them have Amazon user reviews, which is interesting, because I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, because at first I was like, that seems kind of messed up, because somebody wrote that review on Amazon, and now you're just using it to sell books in your store. But then I was like, oh, that's exactly what it was doing digitally, I guess. Although, I'll say this. When you leave your Amazon or your Goodreads review, you can choose to leave a negative review. And they weren't, you know, doing any negative reviews, so obviously that's pointless. That would be pretty fun, though, if they did, like, a shelf of, like, the worst reviewed, or, like, hey, here, why not? I have a question. Why not put up, if you're going to do Lord of the Flies, anybody buying that based on an Amazon review or not? No. So then just go ahead and be like, all right, here's a 1-star review of Lord of the Flies. It's like total shite. And then it talks about what's so horrible about it. And done. So, like, walking through the Amazon store, here's the big difference. As you're in there, all the books are stuff that you know. And I mean stuff that you know. Like, that's part of my job. and whatever. But, like, I don't think I saw a single book that I hadn't heard of before, right? And that's not because I'm saying, like, I know so much about books. It's because all the books you see there are, like, super popular books, okay? Or things that you've heard of, or things that are on the news, or things that are on NPR, or stuff like that. It's not stuff that you're gonna... There was no small indie press, I'll tell you that right now. There was no book called, like, Werewolf Women of the SS or some shit. Okay, well, here's our standard I-25 accident that's just brought traffic to a standstill. That's awesome. This is, oh, God. I hate coming back to Colorado. There are some things I really don't like about this state, and this is one of them. We are so fucking stupid. Our interstate is so stupid. You cannot drive 1 hour on I-25 without coming to a complete standstill. It's 75 miles an hour, two lanes each way. And it's like, I guarantee you, you will come to a standstill if you drive an hour on this thing. If you drive from just north of Denver to Colorado Springs, that's like, I don't know, let's call it 50 miles. It will take you 2 hours, I guarantee. Because, and it's not because, and you'll be going 75 part of the time, and you'll be going none part of the, oh, this fucking asshole is just shooting by the whole thing. What a dildo. So the Amazon store, it's not like you're, this is the exact, it was the exact opposite of the Powell store, because it's like, you are not going to find anything new here. You're not going to find a new, exciting book. You're not going to find an author you've never heard of before. You know what I mean? That is never going to happen for you. Just forget it. It felt very soulless, too, you know, which is like, again, a pretty empty criticism, I guess, because it's not very specific, but so be it. That's what it was. That's how it felt. I don't know. I'm not like, I wouldn't fault Amazon for going the, everyone calls it brick and mortar. That's like how we talk about a physical building, I guess, for some reason. It's brick and mortar, brick and mortar, brick and mortar. But I can't fault them for going that route. The reason being, like, brick and mortar bookstores have been having a bit of a comeback, which is great. And, like, them getting in on that, I don't think their grand plan was, like, we're going to kill all the bookstores and then we're going to come and be the only bookstore. Like, I don't think that they had that foresight or that plan. I guess it's possible, but it seems pretty unlikely to me. All these fucking assholes getting off on the frontage road now. This is another great move. Everyone goes through the ditch and gets on the frontage road. And then the frontage road is just this gigantic long line of cars that's just going the same speed as the, you know, blocked up freeway. Fucking amazing. What a bunch of dicks. Anyway. There you go. There you have it. I feel like Amazon is just so rich and they just decided to kind of do a brick and mortar store for the story more than anything. And that's what that is. Because they don't need to. They don't need to do anything, right? It's sort of weird to me that, like, Amazon is still... I guess it's kind of good that they're still, like, doing, trying new things. You know, like, they have their voice commanded, whatever, command your whole house with your voice thing. Ooh, turn off the living room lights. Turn up the music, whatever. But, I don't know why. I don't know why they don't just, at this point, be like, all right, is anyone going to come by and then be like, all right, we're taking on Amazon? Like, that is not going to happen. That's ridiculous. So there you go. I did make an unfortunate discovery of something. Well, not a discovery. I think I've known this all along, but there was like I had new awareness of myself. Which is like, I've long known that it seems like everything I like is a real... I don't know if the things I like are inherently things that, like, jack-off idiots like, or if I'm a jack-off idiot, or what. But, like, so we went to this Wordstock, this literary festival thing, and there were authors talking and stuff like that, which I like, and it's fun, and it was horribly run. We waited, so one of the earlier events of the day was John Krakauer, Into Thin Air, Into the Wild, talking with some guy. You know, most of them were just like author Q&As, and it was like an author talking to another author or something like that. So we get in line. So we go to it's in this church, this giant church. They have three venues, and one is this giant church. You know, they're all like right next to each other. So we walk over there probably about 15 minutes before this is supposed to start, and there's a line. So we start following the line. The line wraps all the way around this building, which you can't tell until you start like, oh, okay, well, where's the end of the line? And then you keep going and you keep going. And finally, we were almost back at the front door when it was like, ah, there's the end of the line. Cool. We should have gone the other way. And, you know, it sucked about it because, like, we didn't get in even close. And once we were in the church, we went in and saw Tom Spanbauer later. Like, I realized, God, we weren't even fucking close. Like, there's not nearly enough room in this building for the number of people just in line. And, you know, we got halfway around the building before it was like, okay, it's full. I was like, all right, this blows. But behind us in line was this very annoying lady who was just nonstop talking about how many books she has at her house and how, like, I need to get more bookshelves and I just love books so much and books are so important. They're like my lifeblood and blah, 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 blah. And it was so hard for me because I was like, well, we're in line at a, you know, literary arts festival. The company or whatever that puts it on is called Literary Arts. So in a way, I'm like, well, this person is in the right place. I mean, this is the place to go if you're gonna, if you're that person, you're in the right place for you. Like, there's nothing, I can't fault them for being like, oh, Jesus Christ, you're into books? Well, welcome to a fucking party, pal. We're literary arts. However, okay, I have to make a decision. Am I going to exit the highway, which very few people seem to be doing for some reason, and now the entire frontage road is backed up to fuck? Or am I going to stay here? I can see the wreck up ahead. I can see the police cars. Oh my God. Now this motherfucker in one of these huge, like, 20 million Mormon family vans is, like, just got off the frontage road to get back on the highway, to get on the exit, because then the line at the exit is shorter than it is on the frontage road. What an asshole. People are, like, real dicks, you know? I'm getting off. I'm doing it, though. It's cool. Doesn't seem like anyone's going the direction I'm going, so I can live with this. So we're at a literary arts festival, and I do feel like kind of a dick being like, ugh, Jesus Christ, what are you, you're fucking into books? What the hell's wrong with you, right? But I guess I feel like it wasn't so much that this person was into books as the fact that this person was, like, shouting in line about how many books she had and how books are, like, reading is fundamental or whatever, you know, and it's just like, oh my God, shut the fuck up already. Just shut up. Just please stop, right? And so, I hated that. And there were so many people at this thing who were of that ilk, who were, you know, talking about this or like, oh, here's what I'm doing with my novel, or like, here's what, whatever. Like, it's so weird because I like talking about that stuff, but I don't like talking about that stuff with people who think that, like, I just feel like a lot of times when you talk to people who are, who call themselves writers, who are convinced they're writers, are like people who write once in a while. And what they do more is they, like, go out to bars and drink and talk about how they're writers and how, you know, what inspires them and stuff like that, or books they've read, which is great, but like just horrible. I don't know. I don't know why. I guess I feel like it's such a weird thing to do, because the way people talk about it is not the way people talk about like a job or like something else that's hard work. It's sort of like this. I don't really have a problem. Like, I think it's great that people exercise, right? And I think it's great when people have like a workout plan that they stick to, or like, even if someone's like, okay, I haven't been working out forever, or, you know, I've never done it, but they're like, I've got this new regimen, I'm gonna start doing this and start eating right and whatever. Like, I think that's fucking great. I don't really want to hear about all the details. I don't want to hear about the caloric intake for the dailies, and I don't want to hear about, like, you know, the book you checked out about body weight exercises, and like, oh my god, this guy is so amazing and he studied da da. Like, this is not the stuff I want to hear. And you don't always have to talk about what I want to hear, but I mean, don't most people find that obnoxious when people are talking about that kind of thing? Like, don't most people hear that kind of thing and just be like, oh my god, somebody fucking put an ice pick in my eye just to stop this. This is what, after like the third person we heard talking the way this person was talking, I was there with Flex, and, you know, we kind of gave each other the looks of like, oh my fucking god. And I was like, you know, sometimes I want to go up to a person like that and just like shoot myself in the face, but, you know, pull out a gun and be like, I'm going to shoot myself. I just want you to know it's because I find you very obnoxious, and then just shoot myself. Be like, I just want you to know. I'm not saying this is totally your fault, but I want you to know that your level of horribleness has just pushed me over the edge. I'm already on the edge. So don't totally blame yourself, but Jesus, tone it down. Maybe think about it. So, you know, but I like, and I think what I like is I like talking about that stuff with people who want to listen, or like, and it seems like when you hear people, the people I heard at this thing were talking to other people in line with them who were giving them like nothing in return, who were just kind of like, eh, yeah, you know, where as someone who can pick up on some social cues, you're just like, this person is telling you, shut the fuck up, without saying it, because they don't want to hurt your feelings, but like, they are not listening to you right now. No one is. Just stop. It's horrible. So like, that's a douchey thing that I like. Or, you know, I was like looking at tiny house stuff forever, but like, I hate everybody who's involved in that. Like, every single person, they're like, oh my god, it's so sustainable, and da da da. And I was just like, hey, look, I just want a house that I can clean in 5 minutes and that costs, you know, $50,000. That's my dream. That's all I care about. I do not want to live off the grid. I don't want to, like, I don't need to find a place in my tiny home to hang a fucking ukulele, okay? Oh, where am I going to put my collection of fedoras? I don't know, all right? I don't have that. I'll smash them flat and then put them in the garbage. That's easy. I'll solve it for you. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know? And then, I really like coffee. That's a perfect example, okay? Coffee is, I just went to a place today, and like, my god. They were, so you go, and like, I was like, well, this will be good, and I'll like the coffee, and I just wanted a small coffee to go. And, like, you go up, and the guy is wearing, like, they're wearing denim and leather aprons. You know, so most of the apron is denim, and then it's got, like, a leather neck strap and stuff. And actually, I was like, boy, this looks so familiar. And I realized, this is, like, I'm pretty sure the same thing that the waitresses wear at Guy Fieri's All-American Las Vegas restaurant, whatever the fuck that place is called. I am almost positive that that's what the waitresses there were wearing. granted, they were smaller and tighter because it's Las Vegas, but it's like the same aesthetic somehow. And, you know, I'm like, I'll have a coffee. And then they say, like, well, do you want this kind or this kind? And I was like, oh, I, you know, whatever's fine. And, but that's not an answer, right? They got to tell you, like, well, this one's fruitier with some kind of finish. And then this one's a bolder flavor with a dark, smoky character. And I was like, okay. I couldn't even keep track of which one. I didn't know if he told me about two or three different ones. And I was just like, I'll just have the first one. And he's like, the first one? And I said, yeah, the first one you told me about. That sounds the best. And then, you know, you go over and they put the thing on top and they're like getting the water to the exact right temperature, and then they pour it into this thing and like let it sluice through, and you're just standing there and the guy's like, hey man, you got any plans for tonight? And I was just like, no, not really. How about you? And he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go have dinner with my friend. And I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah. And he's like, so you got this kind, huh? And I was like, I did. And he's like, oh, well, you're lucky. We roasted our last batch of that the other day. And I was like, cool. He's like, yeah, good thing I came in today, huh? And he's like, yeah. Yeah, you never know. And he's like, you know, it's so interesting working in the coffee industry because, like, one kind of bean you roast and then you prepare it this way and it's great. And then the next kind, they roast it and you prepare it the same way and it's horrible. And you just got to figure out, you know, he's like, it changes all the time. It's so interesting. I actually didn't mind that guy. I'll tell you that right now. But I just don't like, you know, people get so fucking micro with this stuff. Oh my God, our beers. Talking about microbrew. Everything is an IPA. Oh, we've got this IPA. We've got that IPA. Blah, 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 blah. I met some people from Colombia while I was in Portland, and we were walking up to the store and got some dinner, and then they just sell beers there, and we were going to get beers, and he was like, is there any of these beers that you would recommend? And I was like, I mean, sure, what kind of beer do you like? And he's like, I don't know. It's like, you know, we don't really have this. Like, we have two, you go up and there's like two kinds of beer, and it's like the same thing. And I was like, okay, well, this one's kind of like this or that. And finally, I was just like, well, maybe we should do, I'll get this one. And if you want to get that one, because I'll probably like both of these. And so if you don't like that one, we can swap. He's like, all right. I don't need everywhere I go to be like, well, you can have Bud Light or Corona. But I also don't need like 50 choices. I don't know. I don't need that many options at every single place. Or, like, I don't really want that, I think, is what I'm saying. And also, you know, I find a beer I like, and then it's gone. Because they're like, oh, that was our seasonal ale. And I'm like, okay. So I guess I'll just drink something else, you know? I don't know, man. So, like, beers and coffees and tiny houses and literary arts and all this stuff, like everything I like is for douches. And maybe this means I'm a douche. I don't know. Ugh. All right, I gotta get going. So here's the deal. I have a birthday coming up. If people who listen to this are not my Facebook friends, I'm having a party on Saturday, the 21st of November. We will be screening my favorite film, my favorite awful film, Fateful Findings, which I got in the mail. Clearly distributed, self-distributed. It's on like a DVD that's got, you know, just a sticker on it. I should probably pop that in and make sure it works. I'd like to take bets on whether or not there will be a menu in this movie or not. And then maybe I should set up like a, you know, some gambling of like how far in does this happen? How many times do you think this happens in the movie? And then we can do some betting. But, so if you haven't been invited to that because you're not my Facebook friend or because you don't use that, you're not on the books, then, you know, come, call me, text me, email me. You know where to find me. yeah, I gotta go because I'm having like a birthday dinner. I'm having like two birthday dinners. This is, I feel like such a dick complaining about this, but hear me out. So, my mom is like, let's do a birthday dinner this weekend. And your uncle's going to be in town. He's going back from Santa Fe and he'll be there. And I was like, okay. She's like, which day do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't care. Saturday or Sunday. She's like, all right. And I said, all right, how about Sunday? Because I figured, well, then usually when I go to Denver, so I go to this thing and I volunteer and teach a kids writing class. And that gets over a little after one. Then I go eat something. And then usually the decision I make is like, I'm going to bring my laptop and I'll just do some work because, you know, and then I can drive back from Denver late because then it's not so horrible. Like driving back at 3:30 is a mistake because, you know, I left it about 3:30 and it's going to be about 5:30 when I get home. So it takes 2 fucking hours. So I was like, all right, Sunday works great. Because then I can stick to my normal plan. I assume you guys don't want to eat dinner at like 11 p.m. And that'll work out wonderfully. And so then, you know, my mom, of course, texts me today at like 1 and is saying, you know, well, your uncle would like to have dinner with you. He's going to leave super early tomorrow morning. And, you know, she sends this at like 1 o'clock today and says, you know, get back to me ASAP. And I'm like, okay, well, that's great. So, yeah, I guess I'll just completely change the plan and drive back in the traffic time and just fucking, you know, eat shit. And then, which is fine. And then here's the part that's the dick part. Is part of me was like, well, oh, here's the other thing. Because when she said, do you want to do this? I said, all right, how's abouts, moms? We meet up at, why don't you guys come down to Denver? Because whenever, like, someone's in town, you know, my mom wants to do a bunch of shit. Like, if my brother comes home, she's like, let's go to the art museum, let's go do this, let's go do that. And she gets, like, all frustrated because most of the time people come here, they don't really care about doing anything. That's just how it is. And so I was like, hey, I got an idea. I'm going to be in Denver on Saturday. Why don't you guys come down to Denver? We could go eat somewhere. There's lots of options. You know, that way I can just kind of stick to my normal plan and just work and then whatever. And she was like, well, I was going to make beef stew for your birthday, which is like this thing she makes that's real good. And I was like, okay. And that's how I decided on Sunday. So I was like, well, let's do it Sunday then. But then it's like, all right, well, now we're meeting tonight, Saturday. And I had to drive back through the traffic, so that didn't work out for me. That wasted a couple hours of my life. And my dick question is, are we still doing the tomorrow dinner as well? And this is why I'm a dick. Because I just feel like I've got like so much other stuff I need to do. And if we're going to have dinner tomorrow, it's like, all right, well, I guess I've probably... When you have dinner with your mom, it's not like going to fucking Chipotle. You know, you don't usually get E. coli. But also, that was like a joke. My God, what has this show become? It's not like going to Chipotle where, you know, you go in and you're out and you look at your watch and you're like, that entire dinner from when I doorstep to doorstep was like 30 minutes at the most. It's like you go over at 4 o'clock, you sit around, you know, my mom always does this too. Like, this is holiday time coming up. So this is a classic holiday thing. For some reason, whenever I go over there for the holidays, she's like, don't you want to have like some beers? And I'm like, I don't know, not really. Cause like, I haven't been as into drinking beers lately. I like to have like 4 or 5 beers, but I don't really like to have like 1 beers because then I just feel tired. And like the last thing you want to do when you're sitting around with your family and it's like 2:30 in the afternoon and, you know, is like just feel tired as shit and be like, I just kind of want to take a nap. So anyway, That's my dick question that I'm pondering in my head and, you know, getting all stressed out about as I'm like, well, do we got to do the both now? Because I think we're going to end up doing both. That's probably what's going to happen, right? Almost certainly, it's like, oh, we'll be doing both. Don't worry. But I'm like, God damn it. God damn it. This is how it goes, isn't it? I mean, I guess you gotta eat dinner both nights, but, like, I don't want to eat, like, family dinner both nights. Like, this is a part of why... This is part of why, like, I don't want to have a family. I was just talking last night. It's so weird. I was talking about how, being a teen, like, I wasn't, like, a dick teen, you know? I wasn't, like, just staring at a computer or a video game or whatever. Like, I think I was okay, and I didn't have, like, a lot of conflict with my parents, with my mom. But the one thing that we had conflict over was, like, the last 2 years I was in high school is when I started going to cross country and track and, like, having friends. And when we would hang out is after practice. And sometimes we'd hang out till, like, 6 or 6:30. And so the fight we had was I would come home, and my mom would be like, we were waiting for you to eat dinner. And I was like, you guys can just eat dinner without me. But she's like, we want to have dinner together. And I'm like, well, I want to hang out with my friends, you know. Just these fights of, like, here's what I want out of life. Here's what I want out of life. Well, shit. Ah, we are very different people, you and I. Turns out that, like, a 45-year-old mom and a 17-year-old boy are different people. Who would have thought? You know, I guess I'm over-categorizing, but we have very different wants, needs, and desires. And so that was, like, the only fight. And I just didn't like it because I was like, I'm fine with you guys eating without me. And this is not a big deal to me. But to them, it was like, no, we must do this together. And what I don't like about it and what I don't like about family stuff is, like, very rarely does it work. Like, compromise is like this. Someone at work was like, I was talking about, you know, living with someone else and about some things like, I don't know, doing the dishes or something like that. And this other person was like, well, that's, you know, living with somebody else is about compromise. But I realized the context in which she said that didn't actually mean compromise, because compromise is like, okay, well, here's what you want. Here's what I want. So let's meet somewhere in the middle, right? Compromise to this other person was shut the fuck up and just do what the other person wants, because that's the relationship. And that was, like, sad to me. But also, I think this is what most people see as compromise, is not going situation by situation and finding a midpoint everywhere. It's about, like, I'm going to just do this fucking thing because I really want to. And then, you know, when you just do the thing you really want to, then we'll just fight about it. And then you'll fight about it with me when I do the thing I want to do. And then I'll fight about it with you when you do the thing you want to do. And that's compromise. Compromise is about doing whatever the fuck we want to and then having a fight about it, instead of actually just saying, like, here's what I really want, or here's what you really want, and then da 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 da. Right? I mean, it's just horrible. And so, like, I feel like that's how families kind of work too, is like, what's the compromise here? And, like, here's the other thing that I think is really funny about having, like, a birthday, is, like, people will ask you, what are you doing for your birthday? We got to go out for your birthday. But it's not like your friends are going to be like, hey, we're going out for your birthday. Here's the date and the time. Be there, fucker. It's like, when are you going to plan your activity for your birthday that we're going to do? And I just feel like, this is why I feel like a pod person or something, because I'm like, fuck you. Like, just go out when you want to go out. Also, you know what's not fun to me is, like, planning a night out for everybody for my birthday. Like, I, on my birthday, don't want to do that. And by that, I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to have a beer on my birthday. I'm saying I don't really want to plan, like, a fun, crazy time out for us. Like, I don't want to plan a, oh my God, we're going to go do X. Like, I don't know. I just was on vacation for the entire last week, and, like, I'm good. I'm set. I don't really care. And so it's weird to me, too, that, you know, when you're in a family, when it's your birthday, it's like, what are we doing for my birthday? Well, I'm driving back through traffic to see my uncle so we can go have a dinner, which is fine, and then going to have a second elongated family-style dinner the next night, which is fine. And these are both fine things, but they're definitely not the things I would choose to do, right? I would not choose to drive through home at this time. I wouldn't choose to have a long, stretched-out dinner. If I was being totally honest with everyone, I'd be like, those don't sound like things I really want to do. Like, those sound like things you guys want to do, and I'm willing to do them for you. It's just so strange to me, because then that's what your birthday kind of is, though, right? Is like, well, I'm kind of celebrating my birthday how everybody else wants to celebrate my birthday. You know what I mean? That's just what you do. My mom was texting with Flex because she was like, is there anything? She's like, first she said, I don't know what to get Peter for his birthday because Ian beat me to his Amazon wish list. Do you know any tools he might want that I could buy? I don't know why she's real into buying me tools, but so be it. And Cassie was like, well, what should I tell her? And I was like, well, there's a random orbital sander on my wish list at the bottom. And I was like, also, I don't think she looked at my wish list because I just looked at it and two things have been purchased and like, there's like three pages of stuff. You know, my family, we started doing this wish list thing, and I think it's the best. And it does take some of the magic out of gift giving, but you can always give like a nice, inexpensive additional gift, right? What I like about it is like, what does my brother want or need? I don't know. What does my mom want? I have no fucking idea. But there you go. But here's the downside of the wish list. Here's what I do not like about the wish list. Sometimes you'll put something on your wish list because you want that specific version of that thing. Like, the good thing about the wish list is I can say, I want a jacket. But it's not like, well, I guess I will just guess what kind of jacket you want. And, you know, then you end up with like a purple raincoat. And you're like, no, that is not at all what I wanted. Or I'll put like a, I'm trying to think of the perfect example of something. You know, I'll put pens on my wish list because I'm like, these are cheap. I like these pens. These are the pens that I want, though. I'm not like, oh, fuck you, you got me pens. But I'm like, well, these are the ones I know what I'm talking about. These are the ones I want. And like, these other pens are fine, but I don't really want them. Like, I don't want to have them. They're a thing that I don't want. So that's what's great about the wish list, is like, you can get specific and get the thing that you actually want and not like the sort of guesstimated version of what you want. So anyway, God knows, I guess I'm probably going to end up getting some kind of power tool tomorrow. This is the other thing, is like, my mom's like, he beat me to the wish list, and I was like, there are like 40 things on that wish list right now that range from $2 to $5 to like $400. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, whatever, I'll just put the range out there and you make your choice. It's like a wedding registry. It's like your life is an ongoing wedding registry. Although the problem with the wedding registry is like, people don't put enough cheap stuff on there. They do not. You gotta put more cheap stuff, man. Or just put gift cards, because then that's fine. You can just use, you know, just put a fucking grocery store gift card. You're going to use that shit. But yeah, people will put like, here's our fucking giant flat screen TV or something. And it's like, look, I don't give a fuck if that's the only thing left on your registry. I cannot buy that for you. It's not that I won't. I can't. And also I won't, but I can't. It's like a... You know, it just makes me feel horrible. Like, sometimes I think when people put that stuff on their wedding registry, I'm like, well, that just makes me feel like shit. Also, by the way, done with the wedding registry. Like, I think we should be done with that, and here's why. What was the purpose of the wedding registry, right? Well, it's because in fucking 1925, I lived at home until I got married, at which point I moved out and I needed all new shit. Like, it was very expensive. You know, when you first moved out, it's like now we've got this sort of middle ground where you move into a dorm. And so you get some stuff, but not everything. And then you move into an apartment, but you usually have a roommate. So it's like, well, I have a couch. She has a microwave. Everything's cool. But now nobody I know moves from home to married. Like, nobody I know has no shit, and then they move into a fucking empty house. Also, I think that, like, it used to be more like, we're getting married and buying a house. So now we have a house, we live together, and we have no things to fill our house, right? Or a housewarming party, same thing. You get them a gift because it's like, well, we have this house, but we don't have any stuff. Because before we were living in a tiny apartment, and now we're living in a, like, normal human house. I just feel like, man, people are getting married. Like, no one I know who got married didn't live together first. Nobody. And, like, nobody I know got married and didn't live on their own first. That's definitely true. So, like, this is fucking dumb. Like, we're just getting people... I don't like upgrading people's stuff when I go to their wedding. I don't like, well, we already have a TV, but this one's, you know, 18 inches larger. Okay, well, that seems like an important thing to do, to get that for you. Or, you know, here's some stuff that's just like... And then the cheap stuff on the registry is like, here's a $12 picture frame, and you're kind of like, well, I feel like you've got that covered, right? I mean, that's... I don't know. It's just very annoying. Very silly. But, so like the wish list, that's just your ongoing life registry, right? And also, it just reminds me of things, like, because if I'm going to buy something for myself, then I can just look on my wish list and be like, oh yeah, that's something I wanted and didn't have the money for, but now I do, or now I don't, or whatever. But the wish list is completely pointless when people look at that and then buy what they think is the equivalent. You know what I mean? Like, I put a sander on there because it's a plug into the wall, not a rechargeable, because those are fucking bullshit. Random orbital sander. That is, and it's got a, you know, a bag, a collection bag on it. It's exactly the one I want. And, so if I get another one, this is why I'm a dick. Again, every way this works out, I'm a dick, because it's like, I'm shitting on my mom for buying me a nice present. But also, I'm like, why don't I just get the one that I actually wanted? Like, can we just do that? Like, it's so much worse in a weird way. This is total first world problem shit, right? But it is so much fucking worse to have the B minus of the thing that you want than it is to not have it. And when I say that, I'm talking about items that I don't, like, really need that bad. I mean, they'd be nice to have, and I'm sure I would make good use of them. But it's not like I have a pressing need for this stuff, right? But it is so much worse when you get something and you're like, ah, it's so close, but it's not quite what I wanted. It's kind of like, okay, I'm getting a new car, and so then I get a Toyota Corolla, right? That's fine. But if what I really wanted was a Prius, and then I got, like, the Nissan Leaf or something, I'd be like, ugh. It's just not, you know, it's so close. I feel like I'm so close to what I wanted, but I'm not there. I just didn't get there. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I don't know why that's so painful to me. It's just like, it's like you get a taste of what you wanted, but not quite. You know, it's somehow perverted or something. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I'm struggling. I'm struggling, yet I keep going. I just keep talking about this, but there you have it. So yeah, happy birthday to me, I guess. Oh, good. Birthdays. Fucking birthdays. How do they work, huh? All right. That's enough. That's more than enough. I will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening. Like always, don't forget, go to Squarespace. Put in the offer code
I think you could type in any combination of letters at this point, and probably any word in the English language probably is represented as an offer code by now. Or you must be able to Google offer codes for Squarespace. I mean, that can't be that hard. Also, I don't really know what they're giving you, whether or not it has value. But I think it's free to just use that. I don't know. I thought it was free. Maybe you get some kind of pro service. Who knows? Who fucking knows? Go there and put in a word. Probably not a curse word, but, you know, actually probably things that represent, you know, WTF, WTF pod, something like that. TESD, I don't know. Just put in four letters until it's like, thanks for using the offer code, and we're going to give 10 cents to some podcast you've never heard of. And, yeah, and then make a fucking website. Make a fan site for this show using Squarespace. If you make a fan site for this show using Squarespace, I will shit. I'll shit live on the air. Yeah, you know what? I was going to say I'll shit live on the air and, like, really mean it, but I've actually already done that. Do you guys remember that? We played that game. Back in the history of this show, we played a little game called Are You Shitting Me? And the way it worked was I read some passages aloud from who's that guy, the electronic wheelchair guy? Stephen Hawking. I read some chapters aloud from his book, and I read a whole set while I was just in the bathroom, just standing there, and then a whole set of stuff while I was actually taking a shit, like while shit was coming out of my butt. And the goal was to, like, see if you could tell when I was shitting and when I was not shitting. Which you couldn't, although it's very difficult. Like, I wish there needs to be a way to do that game where I don't know that I'm recording for it, because then I'm, like, trying very hard to modulate and not... Although I'm not one of these... What is going on? All right. I know, like, 20 minutes ago I said I was done, and then I've just been yelling. What the fuck is going on with people in the bathroom who are, like, grunting away and, like, making these crazed noises? What are you doing? Like, what is wrong with you? You don't have to vocalize these things, you know? That's not a thing. Like, you don't have to... Making that noise with your face doesn't make the shit come out at all. It's just making a noise. Like, that's all you're doing is making it so that I know as I go by, like, oh, yep, this person's definitely taking a shit. Doesn't seem to be going well either, but, you know, they're grunting away. Sounds like they're sweating. If that was me and I was making that level of noise, I would definitely be sweating right now. That's pretty cool. That's a good thing for me to have experienced with them. I'm happy about that. Oh, God. Life, huh? All right. This time for real. Thanks for listening. See you next time.